Hello, sports fans. It's Monday, May 26th. Welcome to Cleats by Dre. I am Dre. Let's talk some sports. Cleaters, it's me. I'm back, at least for a little bit. Last you heard from me, the Duke Blue Devils were falling to the Houston Cougars in excruciating fashion in the Final Four. Yeah, that's the kind of event that could put a podcaster to retirement. For me, just a little bit of life getting busy with work, busy with life. But man, I've been wanting to get back, and you know, we've missed so much of a playoff run. Those New York Knicks. And there's a lot to talk about. I'm not going to talk about it all now. But this win last night, I had to get some points out there. Yes, it took the third 20-point come-from-behind win on the road for me to podcast. And don't get me wrong. I've been watching play-by-play of this Knicks run. Back to that Detroit series that was tough, was a grinder, was possession by possession. Through six games, watched throughout the Boston series, which on its own would qualify for a successful postseason run, with two 20-point come-from-behind victories on the road against the defending champs, against the New York-Boston rival. That didn't get me to podcast. After game one of this Pacers series, with admittedly, one of the most incredible, whether you want to call it comebacks or whether you want to call it a choke by the Knicks, tip your hat to those Pacers. I almost got the podcast, but I didn't. But something about this Game 3 win. I was hooting, I was hollering. Maybe it's the whole backs against the wall. This was a gritty, heartful win. And I'll use that in a punny way, for the New York Knicks. So I just want to share a couple quick thoughts on what I saw about this Game 3 win. And sure, the Knicks are down 2-1. Nothing is guaranteed tomorrow. But I saw some things that made me proud. It made me feel good. Because it didn't look great, right? Knicks were down 20. Foul trouble was accruing in the second quarter. Hostile crowd in Indiana. We've never run in that Gainbridge Fieldhouse. 0-9, apparently. Reggie Miller on the call, which it's excruciating to have to hear the homerism. But something turned in this game. Something flipped. And I have a couple notes as to what happened. And a couple things that kind of inspired me. And I think it started at the end of the third quarter. I know the Knicks, you know, Deuce McBride made some big shots end of the second quarter. Knicks were fighting, but man, especially after that game two, I texted my dad, I might even post it on X, that Pacers are just a better team. They play a better style. Knicks are fighting for everything on offense. Pacers are flowing to easy threes, easy layups, but something changed in this game where that's not the case anymore. Pacers shot 5-for-25 from three. That's bad. That'll correct. But again, kind of like the Boston series, they weren't getting like wide open shots. So my first thing that changed, and yeah, you can call this sour grapes, whatever. End of the third quarter, the refs started calling more of the Pacers, kind of check fouls, ticky-tack fouls, illegal screens. It wasn't just the Knicks getting illegal screens. Pacers were getting illegal screens. The charge that OB had on Landry. Mathurin for a foul. They actually called Nesmith for knocking a ball handler off the ball, Bridges off the ball. The refs started calling that stuff because this Pacers team has pulled a rabbit out of the hat because they're a fun team to neutral. I would root for the Pacers because they're fun to watch. Halliburton is a surgeon. He's a quarterback. The way he runs the offense, the alley-oops to Toppin. But they're not just a fast team. They are tough, gritty. I'll call it. They get away with some cheap stuff. They make the refs call things. They remind me a lot of the Utah Jazz in the 90s of that, right? Halliburton's a little bit like Stockton. Like, they just get away with some cheap stuff that, oh, we're big New York. New York gets all the calls. BS. In this series, until that end of the third quarter, it wasn't the case. And so, you know, the Pacers got called for some offensive fouls. I was screaming at the TV before that. I don't like to make it about the refs, but, like, we need balance. And I think we finally got some balance. But then, I don't know if the refs starting to call stuff kind of, like, put the Pacers in hesitation mode. But Coach Tibbs, and I got to give him lots of credit, guys. If we're going to blame him, we're going to yell at him for being too stale and too stagnant. He tried some things. He experimented. Would we have wanted him to experiment earlier? Yes. Earlier in the season, earlier in the playoffs. Then again, Boston series, he couldn't have played that any better. So, all the attention went to the Mitch Robinson starting over Hart. And I actually thought Mitchell had one of his weaker games, you know. But the bigger thing was the bench unit. Absolutely, Delon Wright was the right choice. Campaign was doing nothing. And even in the first half, you saw Wright immediately get some deflections. He had some energy. Combine that with Landry Shamet, that brought some passion. He hit a three. Again, that charge off of Obi. But the lineup that they kind of closed the third quarter, I think they started the fourth quarter of this lineup, of Deuce, Delon, Landry, Hart, and Towns. That was the money lineup. I'll talk about Towns in a second. But that lineup, those wings, Delon, Landry, Hart, they gave the Pacers bench unit lots of trouble. And we'll come back to the defense in a second. Karl-Anthony Towns had a Nick moment. Maybe his Nick moment at the start of that fourth quarter. He had a touch from the outside. He was driving. I swear, I feel for the guy. I feel like he gets fouled in every take. I feel like he also gives a lot of cheap fouls. It doesn't help. But he took it. He was aggressive. And it's beautiful to see for a player that is so talented. And I grew so much respect for Cat throughout the year with just how talented he was. Guy made all NBA third team. For him to finally find a unit, the right unit that's built for him, right? Because, you know, there's something to be said. It's hard to have Brunson and Towns on the floor at the same time. I know that's weird to say. It is. So putting Towns with all these defensive kind of stoppers around him, he becomes the focal point. That's a really good lineup that I hope we see a lot more to start the fourth quarter or start the second quarter. He had his best game as a Knick. I'll go and say it, and maybe that's revisionist history. He had a pretty good game one also until the end, but we kind of forget that game. Towns was incredible. Brunson had a tough game. Captain had a tough game. And it's not just the fouls. His shot was off. Lots of bad decisions, bad passes. I feel like I saw him getting into hero mode too much. He was ignoring Cat, ignoring other guys on the offense. But Brunson comes back in the fourth quarter, about 7 minutes left, hits a tough shot, and then he gets called for the foul. No, he doesn't. He does get called for the foul. We tried to challenge it, unsuccessful. Nembhard, Nesmith, these guys are bruisers, man. You call offensive fouls on those guys every time they go to the hoop. Brunson's not the grifter. Those guys are the grifters. And, you know, I'm not gonna go too much to the refs. It's a passionate series. But Deuce comes in, and you know what? Thank God for those 10 games that Brunson missed, because Deuce can run the point, and he's a better defender than Brunson. There is unspoken truth that sometimes the Knicks are better with Deuce in instead of Brunson. I don't mean for the whole game, but Brunson's a liability on defense. Incredible on offense, liability on defense. And if Deuce played like he did today, assertive on offense, yeah, that was a foul from Siakam on the dunk attempt. Too much contact for that not to be called. Deuce hit some big threes. He took initiative to control the offense. I'm okay with playing Deuce for long stretches of time in the fourth quarter going forward. Love captain. Love Jalen Brunson. I'm okay with playing Deuce too. At least this Deuce. Not Pistons series Deuce, but Celtics series Deuce and this Deuce. But let's get back to that defense, because something happened even when the starters came back in, and Mikal and OG, they had tough. They played tough. Mikal's shot wasn't always there. OG's three-pointers were huge. But when those guys checked back in, something clicked. And this Pacers offense, you've heard about it, a lot of horizontal motion. It's really a tough team to cover. And these guys all know their spots. They know certain guys go to the corner. Certain guys pop up high. The lane is usually open. I really got a sense, and this is the biggest point, I think, for this series. The Knicks started figuring out the Pacers' offense. They started anticipating the screens. They started anticipating where the ball was going to go. They started to sense where the motion was going. And they made it very hard for the Pacers in the fourth quarter. If you listen to Inside the NBA after the game, I don't know why you would. Side note, good riddance. Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, Ernie, loved you guys in your heyday. Time for some fresh voices. They'd say the Pacers blew it. The Knicks made the Pacers blow it. The Knicks were one step ahead on defense. And I think this happens in a seven-game series. You play a team enough. The Knicks look lost on defense in games one and two. They started knowing the Pacers' spots. And that might be the biggest difference in this series, the anticipation. Of course, Brunson checks back in about a minute and a half left. Huge, tough 12-footer. You can't deny that. The guy is a closer. And really, in the last few possessions, the star of the last minute was Josh Hart. You know, an ultimate team player. That's why I call this a heartful win, because he took the bench snub. Lots of NBA players would not respond well to that. And Hart with three tough rebounds. OG Anunoby with a tough rebound off his master, his Obi-Wan Kenobi. OG Anunoby's Obi-Wan Kenobi is Pascal Siakam from their days in the Raptors. And I think OG's always had trouble against Pascal. Last year he had trouble against him. This series had trouble against him. But I saw him take him down to the floor. These guys were fighting for rebounds. What a great series this is. What a great competition. But Josh Hart came up with the rebounds in the end. And the Knicks hit their free throws. That's what matters too. They hit their free throws in game one. They're up 2-1. But as of now, they're down 2-1. But you have to feel optimistic, because I think this Pacers, the Pacers are a really fun, really good team that plays a really positive, easy style of basketball. But I really feel like the Knicks, and I give credit to the bench wings for really starting the anticipating. Like the Knicks started knowing where the ball was going to go. And let's be honest, the Pacers do not have the individual talent the Knicks do. They do not. Pascal Siakam today, even though he had 17 points, he was a minus 20. He was not effective. Miles Turner has not been effective. Tyrese Haliburton is an incredible player, but his threat is the pass. So I'm positive. And look, these games are all close. They're all coin flips. Knicks still have to win 3 of 4. But I really feel like they unlocked something. And most importantly, that was my proudest win of this playoffs for the Knicks. They could have folded. Past Knicks teams would have folded. This team's mentally tough. I give credit to Brunson for being the captain. Give credit to Tibbs and the staff. That was fun. I was screaming. I was hooting. I was hollering. A little sad news. My wife's aunt passed away unexpectedly in the last couple days. So we were at, you know, services today, and you know, shout out to Uncle Len, who's a big Knicks fan. He's also a Jets-Mets Knicks fan. A tough combo. But as we were talking today, he was like, man, why did Knicks got to be in the playoffs again? Because he remembers 1994 in the finals when his dad passed away back then. And all he remembers is the O.J. Simpson chase, and of course the the Knicks choking that away in Game 7. So hate having to correlate Knicks moments in the playoffs with some really deep losses. But we love you, Uncle Len, and we miss you. We're gonna miss you, Aunt Rochelle. But again, guys, this is my theme on the podcast. If you go back to listening to me when the Mets were making a deep playoff run and I was going through my own adversary of a job search and things like that, sports can uplift. Sports are an escape. Sports are how communities come together, and they're inspiring. And I got to say, I'm inspired by the Knicks today. All right, folks, take care. Hopefully I'll get back to you soon. But just know this podcast, it'll be going in some format, in some shape. Keep your alerts on, and stay well and go Knicks.